Hi, everybody. I hope everything's going okay with you. The reason why I'm doing my podcast is I wanted to share my strength, and hope with all of you, and to let you know that all your positive and negative things help me become a great person that I am today. All the circumstances in my life that I've had, I've come through, and it's made me stronger in who I am today. That's what I'm going to be sharing. I welcome you to listen. If you agree, you don't, that's fine. It's just I'm putting this out there. Today I'm going to talk about how I was not able to read. I didn't realize it. See, the thing is with me is I have to overcome being that, oh, I'm not aware of all these things and how can these things happen to me and why can't you see them? Or why didn't you know about them? I myself was so focused on other things in my life, especially people, that I just didn't even really, I don't think I even had an identity ever, especially when I married my husband, which was a very, a really kind of violent alcoholic. And I was just so focused on everything else that I never focused on myself. So anyway, during my grammar school years, I was very sick as a child. As you know from my last podcast, I didn't attend school that often because of it. And when I went to freshman of high school, becoming pregnant and then having everybody bully me on that I didn't know that happened, that I quit, and my my grandparents signed me out. Didn't realize that at the time I could read basic stuff, but not a lot. And I adjusted, and I didn't realize, but I just normally just adjusted. When I was at my worst, and I got to a support group. The first time I walked in, there was this lovely lady who became my mentor that was sitting in she was the chair person, and they were going around. They shared a book, and they were reading off this book. And when it came to me, I was like, oh my God, I knew certain words, but I really never sat down and really comprehended reading. I was like, what kind of group am I? What am I joining? And for some it was God. She knew something was wrong. And she says, you know what? It's your first time here. Why don't you just pass the book? It's okay. Just listen today. And I was so grateful she said that, because I only had to read a paragraph. And I could not believe it. I knew words like the and this and, an A. But I didn't know a lot of the words. So anyway, she became my mentor, and she would say and do things, not to make me do things, but the way she said it was just God's love for me. One day, she said to me, because we would talk all the time on the phone, or we'd meet, or we'd go out for dinner, coffee, whatever. And she had said to me, Kathy, have you ever thought of what you're going to do after the kids are grown and on their own? And I said, oh, I don't know. Because my life was my husband, my kids, and everything. It wasn't me. I wasn't a priority. And she said, what about going back to school? I said, are you kidding me? Go back to school? I mean, I didn't graduate. I dropped out at 14, 15, I think it was. I didn't know very much. She said, well, okay. It's just a thought she had. And you know what? It amazes me, because she put that thought in my head and I couldn't get it out of my head. So one day I made an appointment at the community college, and you had to take this entry test to see where you're at in your education. I was so scared, because I was like, I am not going to know any of this. And I remember calling her and sharing how scared I was with her. And she says, that's okay. You don't want to be in a classroom that you don't know what they're talking about. You want to get the best for yourself. And I'm thinking for myself, man, I never thought of crap like that. But I'm like, okay, I'll go. So I went and I knew nothing. I mean, I knew some things, don't get me wrong. I knew the little bit of the math and things like that, but I really didn't know a lot. So I remember after I left, I went to her house and we talked, and I said I felt so stupid. And I remember crying in her punch room, and she's saying that it's a good awareness and that it's okay to cry over this, that you're becoming more aware of what your needs are and not everybody else's needs, because I was always there for other people. So I had gotten the results, and it said that I needed to start from the bottom of learning how to read and learning basic math, and then I'd have to progress. And I knew that was coming, but I didn't want to accept it. So I went back to school, and I would go twice, twice a week, and one was math class, one was spelling, and boy, I felt like a little kid. Every time I would get tests for my spelling or my math, I would, you know, I would run to her and say, look at my test. It was like, it was just, it was awesome. That gave me encouragement more of myself and what to do. Then I decided to get a job, and because I couldn't rely on my husband paying for my school. And so then I went to a retail store and I got a job. So I got a job going to school, raising the kids. Wasn't easy, but I did it. And I remember sometimes I had to go to my grandmother's house because he was passed out at the house, and I just wanted quietness. And I took the kids over there, and I would do my homework on the floor. And I remember my daughter saying to me, "Mom, you're doing really good in school." And you know, she would say things like that, and it made me really feel good. Well, lo and behold, I progressed, and I went for my GED test. It was a 2-day process, and I was like shocked that I passed, but I did. And see, these are the things in my life that made me who I am, because I'm more compassionate towards people that fake reading, because that's what I did. So I passed and I got my GED, and then it was like a whole world just opened up. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh my God, I can do anything. I got a GED now. I mean, I can do it. At that time, you're going back, high school diplomas were accepted. Now it's not. You have to have masters and all of this. So I decided I was going to try. I didn't know what to do. And then my husband started working on getting sober and getting into his recovery. And so I decided, well, I'm going to try certain things. I wanted to be a manicurist, and I couldn't do that because, and I was going to go to school for that, but I couldn't because of my asthma. I couldn't be around all those chemicals every day. And then I thought, wow, okay, I'll go into real estate. So I went to real estate school, flunked that out completely. And I was getting kind of disappointed because I'm like, oh, okay, what am I going to do? And my mentor had told me at the time that, you know, that in order to know what you want to do or God wants you to do, you need to go through certain steps. And now you can, you know, cross those off. You don't want to do that. So she said, there's sometimes at colleges, they have like a class of, you know, what do you want to do in school? What do you want to do in your life, I should say. So I went to the class, and it was free. And lo and behold, I mean, what I came out with it, the teacher told me, is that I should be like in a helping position, like a nurse or a caretaker, because I'm passionate to other people. And that's really my problem in a lot of ways. I'm more compassionate to other people than myself. I'm still trying to learn about myself at this time. So I went and I started looking at, you know, what the classes were and everything. And this came out I was like, they have, knowing addictions and living with an alcoholic, there was classes on addictions. I was like, wow, I didn't even know that there was such a career as an addiction counselor. So I decided to sign up for it. And I loved it. I stepped in the room and I absolutely loved it. And I couldn't believe how much I loved it. I scored A's, which totally blew my mind a lot of times, because I'm like, I remember sitting in the parking lot and saying, you know, God, this is you, this is not me, because I don't know how I'm getting these A's, but it's coming natural to me. I was finding out this is what God wanted me to do in my life, and I want what he wants me to do, because I'm tired of doing what I want to do, because it doesn't get me nowhere. So I remember I got my first A, and I was standing on the steps at this community college, and I looked up at the sky, and I remember, God, I cannot believe you want me to go into addiction counseling to handle drug addicts. Oh my God, I can't believe this. And I started laughing, and but I loved it. I should say hardest class that I didn't think I was going to be able to pass was pharmacology. And it was a hard class because you have to know the drugs and medications out there and what they do and all of this. And I scored an A on that. I had a whole big lecture on it I had to do in front of the whole classroom. And I was just floored that I was just going through these classes. And here you are, here's a girl that had little to no education because of life circumstances, and she's just passing crazy A's. And my GPA was a 4+, and I was on this list and that list, and I was like, oh my goodness. I just remember a lot of times just sitting there crying, saying, God, what you've done for me is just, he blows my mind sometimes, but I have to let it. I have to let go of it. So I graduated. I graduated with honors. I graduated GED. I graduated all the addiction counseling. It took me a long time. Excuse me. I think it was 6 years, but I did it. I did my internship at a poor part of the city. Excuse me. And couldn't believe I was doing it. I was like, what? I remember the first day I drove there, I'm like, what am I doing? Why? I've never been in these. I'm a person that's been in, you know, brought up in all white suburban neighborhood, and God, you're sending me all the way down in the ghetto here to go for internship. But oh my God, I loved it. I was like, and I was good. I was very good at it. So they were I was so good at it, they hired me. And I was shocked. So I had my first job as an addiction counselor. I had my first patients. One girl always stood out particular for me. She was in my group, and she was in section, they call them section 8 apartments, and it was late, and she would ask me, because it was on the other side of town, and she would ask me if she could leave early so she could take the bus, because it's a really bad complex. And I said, that's fine. And I remember her sitting there every day. She can't, you know, she's like, I'm not going to make it. And I kept telling her, you're going to make it. And she's like, why are you so positive? She said, I don't understand. And here we come from two different worlds. And God just gave me so much compassion for her. I mean, because I had compassion for myself. In order to give compassion, I really do think you need to have compassion for yourself. That was hard for me. Fast forward, I went to a luncheon last year, And I was like, there she came running after me, and she recognized me and said, oh my God, it's 20 years. She said, I made it. And I'm like, oh, I just burst into tears, because to see that just is the most miracle that God has shown me. It was one life touching another. My mentor used to tell me, she used to love Wonderful Life, because if that life isn't there, it's a mist, and it doesn't go the way it's supposed to, and you miss that. And stepping out and allowing myself to be there, and that just is just awesome. I just have an awesome God. I always have to give him credit, because I am nothing without him. I have learned that time and time again. And if I don't ask, or I just sit there in my own stuff, it's not healthy for me. And then I get into a lot of problems, I should say, for myself. I put it on myself. So it's so much easier just to talk to God. I don't do any famous, I don't do any praying of these, of all these prayers. Sometimes I'm going to tell you, sometimes I just say, hey God, I'm here. I'm here. Sometimes I'll tell him, I haven't talked to you in a while, but I'm here. And that I have a very good relationship with my God today. It's a buddy system for me. And you may disagree or agree with that. That's okay. But to me, it's a buddy system. It's not that he's higher up than me, or he's so touchable to me that I'm just in awe a lot of times. So, like I said, my purpose is to let you know that despite all these negative and consequences, and, just give it to God, because he's there. He's there with me through the bad times, through the good times. It doesn't matter. He doesn't leave me. I have left him and went on my own. But he's there just waiting. And he has a plan for me. He has a plan for everybody. Do you know that giving you life is a gift? And I believe that it's a gift that he wants us to proceed of what he wants. He has a plan for us. But we have to allow him and to let him have this plan. Because I'm going to tell you, if I knew from the time I was born and all the crap that I've been through in my adulthood, that I was going to be a counselor to many people that suffer from addictions, blows my mind. And I was in addictions in the field for over 30 years. Here's a girl that didn't read, have the circumstances in her life, and here I am. And it's not anything to do. I just did the footwork. God did the rest. So much easier when I let him in and everything just flows. So hang in there. Whatever you're going through, you're not alone, because I'm not alone. Nobody's alone. Only if you choose to be alone, but you're not alone. You've got problems. Everybody has problems, who knows whatever problems it can be. It just doesn't matter to God. It just doesn't matter. I've come to that circumstance that it just doesn't matter what the problems are. He is there, and he is there to help me. He's there to help us. So I hope that you're finding some comfort in the things that I've gone through. I've got many more stories that I plan to do. So I'm going to just say goodbye and have a really great day. Bye-bye.